Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. The following is a presentation of the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Between the hedges and across the state, this is where the dogs play.
We're ready to go.
Go ahead and put it all on
the
line.
The kick is blocked. It's no good.
He's got a man. Touchdown!
Just a clinic there by the Georgia Bulldogs.
We're just getting started.
Swift by the defense 30. They won't catch him. Into the end zone. Touchdown!
Here we go.
From the Bulldogs Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College and JMI Sports, Bulldogs Live is on the air. Hear from head coach Kirby Smart and get in-depth analysis from Hondo and the Bulldog All-Stars. All that and more is right here on Bulldogs Live. Now, alongside head coach Kirby Smart, here's the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Hi again, everyone. Welcome to Bulldogs Live, and happy Halloween. Be safe out there tonight. We are with you each Thursday night, safe and sound, from 7 until 9 o'clock throughout the football season. And coming up here in the first hour of the show, it's Coach Kirby Smart taking questions from you via social media. In the second hour of the show, it's the Bulldogs All-Stars. They'll take your phone calls, and that's your chance to talk Bulldogs football with former Georgia players. Neil Williamson is your host in hour two tonight. If you have a question for Coach Smart, you can submit it at any time throughout the week on multiple social media platforms by using the hashtag AskCoachSmart, and we'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can here on Thursday night. The Ask the Coach segments are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Well, the Bulldogs were idle last week but moved up two spots in the national rankings to number 8. Georgia has a record of 6-1 this season, 3-1 in the SEC. The Dogs head south Saturday to play the Florida Gators, ranked 6th this week. The Georgia-Florida game for the second straight year will be a top 10 matchup. The Bulldogs have won the last two meetings in the series. Our coverage of Georgia Bulldogs football begins at 11:30 Saturday morning with a Dog Talk pregame show, followed by the tailgate show from Jacksonville at 12:30. Game time will be 3:30 here on the Bulldogs Sports Network. Our producers and engineers tonight are Adam Gillespie in Athens, Zach Jewell, and Cabell Philpott from the Learfield IMG College Network Studios. We thank you for tuning in tonight. Bulldogs Live returns with Coach Kirby Smart right after this on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
You're listening to Bulldogs Live. Once again, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Welcome back to Bulldogs Live. Coach Kirby Smart is with us as Georgia and Florida get set to play in Jacksonville this weekend. And the Dogs were off last Saturday, so a little bit of extra time for rest and relaxation and preparation and all of that. Coach, good to see you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Excited. Got a great opportunity in front of us, and I know our players are really excited and their fans are, and this is really what college football is about. When you get a chance to play a neutral site game against a rival and a top 10 matchup, what more could you ask for?
It's certainly a big one. It's always big on the schedule every year, just the way it works out. I mean, both of these two teams are potential favorites in the division since it split up back in the early 90s. And even going back beyond that, it's always been a big, big, important game for both fan bases.
Yeah, it has. And a lot of years it's come down to these two teams in the East, and they both recruit well, and they got good players on both sides of it, and it'll probably be a big game for a long time.
That's another thing. You bring that up. Recruiting is a battle in itself between these two programs. I mean, you go against all the other schools in the conference in a lot of situations, but Georgia-Florida go head-to-head in a lot of situations trying to get players out of both of our states.
Absolutely. Both go head-to-head, both great schools and great programs. So good thing is the fans get to enjoy it, and the coaches get to prepare for it.
Are you saying that's not necessarily enjoyment all the time? I know it's a lot of work.
Preparing for it? I don't know. I enjoy preparing for it. That's the fun part. But the game is where all the action is.
Did you ever get to participate in the game when you weren't a player or a coach? Did you ever go before any of that stuff?
I didn't as a kid. I mean, I never went to a Georgia-Florida game, but I did as a as ironic, I was a Miami Dolphins coach. So it was the year after we had just won the SEC. I went to the Dolphins, and we had an open week. It happened to be Georgia-Florida open week. So me and my wife flew up. She was a dog, and I'm a dog. And I got to go to the Georgia-Florida game as a fan. It was very strange because you had recruited and coached all those kids the year before, and then you're sitting in the stands, and it was – I don't know. It was like an out-of-body experience for me. It was just very strange to be watching it and hearing the fans and all the, you know, the griping and all the stuff. And it was like, golly, this is what this is, really is, to sit in the stands and hear this. But it was very unique.
Did you catch yourself scouting a little bit while you were watching the game?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I wasn't in on the game plans of either side, so it was just kind of weird to look up there and see it that way and watch it. Then, of course, I had to fly back to Miami, and we had a game the next week.
The last game Georgia played was Kentucky. Then you had an open date last weekend. Kind of get us up to date on your team since that Kentucky game and how things stand right now.
We've been hard at work. We have talked about it a bunch, but the off week is a chance to, number one, rest some guys, heal some guys, prepare some guys, and you know, we just try to build up our depth and get more guys that can play winning football. We try to work on fundamentals, and we've done that, and you know, try to work on everything, whatever the offensive staff comes and says we want to work on this. Okay, well, we're going to do a period of nothing but that and try to get good at that and do good people against good people, get competition defense. We want to see some of this. Okay, well, we're going to work on that. Special teams, these are things we did poorly in the first few games. Let's focus on that and try to get what we got to get right. And that's what we did. And then, of course, we started to prepare for Florida last Thursday, and we finished up some practices on them now.
When does the coaching staff draw up your game plan for your next opponent in your week of preparation? Or is that done in advance of your week of preparation, if that makes any sense?
It never changes. I mean, you're constantly preparing it, but you off week, you started on, you know, right on the off week. So the players might not be working on Florida, but coaches are, and we're working on everybody we got to play in the future. But in a normal game week, you obviously start on Sunday after the other game's over, and the players start getting some of that plan Monday, and then things change. You know, you see things on the field that you might say, "Ooh, man, that doesn't look good," or "Oh, that looks better that way." And you're always trying to, even right up till Thursday, Friday, trying to get it squared away to where you're comfortable with it.
Is it your feeling that everybody came back after the off week ready to work again after a couple of off days over the weekend, and the energy is good and all of that this week in your preparation?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, we've had some tough weather conditions this week. You know, it's been sloppy and rainy. We got to practice in some of that, and we try to force the issue, but the kids have been great. I mean, these are the easiest weeks you have to get them to practice because they're, you know, so excited. There's so much more juice to it, and they've been fired up all week.
When you're not outside and you have to go inside to practice because of the weather, does that change your practice schedule at all, or are you able to still get your stuff done that you've scheduled to do?
Yeah, we have to be really organized because we have a 100-yard field and we have, you know, over 100 players out there. So, you know, we do things like, you know, going throwing opposite ways, trying not to throw into each other. We back each team up to get the maximum distance. We do some periods. One team's in the red area, the other team has the big part of the field, and the other team has red area, and the other team – I mean, you have to be really smart about the way you do it, and you have to be very organized to not have somebody run into each other and get injured because you're all crammed in the indoor. But we try to do that. The problem with the indoor, and it's not a problem, I mean, it's a great situation to have, but a lot of the players say their legs get more tired, they get more weary from the turf. It's softer. So if you go in the indoor too much and you go repeatedly, you can get leg weary. And you don't, we go in typically on Thursdays, and you get pushed in a couple of days, and that makes an extra day inside. So we never want to go inside more than 2 or 3 days in a row.
Do you know, and I don't, this question just popped into my head, but when you're playing on that type of a surface, do you know if there are any more of the toe-type injuries as opposed to playing on grass because of that rubber stuff that kind of grabs your foot?
No, they don't. They've done all the studies. I think if that was the case, you know, nobody would want to be on it. Everybody would have it, but they've done studies. There's no higher concussion, ACL, toe injuries, ankle injuries, one way or the other. And they do a good job, Ron and his staff. They have a history of where every injury occurred since we've been here, and you can kind of monitor that.
This is Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart, and we will get to your questions that you sent in via the hashtag AskCoachSmart. The Ask the Coach segment brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors is coming up next here on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. Welcome back to the show on this Halloween night. Happy Halloween to all of you. Hope you're staying safe out there tonight. The Bulldogs will head to Jacksonville tomorrow and then play the Gators on Friday afternoon in the what is that stadium called? Some bank stadium now. TIAA Bank Field. That's it. They change the name every few years on me. I still like to call it the Gator Bowl because that's how I kind of grew up with it, but it's not anymore. But that's where we'll be on Saturday afternoon, and our broadcast will start at 11:30 for our coverage of Bulldogs football on Saturday. Dog Talk pregame show at 11:30, tailgate show from the stadium at 12:30. We hope you join us here on the Bulldog Sports Network. Let's get to your questions you sent in for Coach Smart via the hashtag AskCoachSmart. If you have a question at all for the coach, you can submit it using that hashtag on social media, and we'll get to as many of your questions as we can during the show. It's the Academy Sports and Outdoors Ask the Coach segment. Academy Sports and Outdoors, proud partner of UGA Athletics. And Larry in Atlanta, Coach, has our first question tonight, and he wants to know what the Florida quarterback brings to the table, as he says in his question. What does Trask bring to the table in this game?
Tough leader, intelligent, and a bunch of good receivers by his side. So he does a really good job. He's smart. He knows where to go with the ball. Dan does a good job developing those quarterbacks. And when you've got the receiver pool he's got, they're pretty good. And he's taken some hits this year, and the people have gotten after him pressure-wise. But, I mean, he's smart. He scrambles. They run him on short yardage. You know, he's not per se a runner, but he can run. And I've been very impressed with his decision-making because he's made a lot of good throws, and the receivers help him do that. They are as talented a group, top to bottom, as I've seen at wideout, because there's so many. I mean, they just don't drop off as they change in and out.
What do you think, and not necessarily their situation, but just in general, what do you think the biggest challenges are for coaches when you lose your number one guy and you have to go to that backup?
I think the experience, the communication in the huddle, the signals, the motions, all the things that he doesn't get as many turns as the other guy is the biggest thing. And sometimes it's confidence. You know, it's the other players around him having confidence that, hey, man, this guy wasn't the starter, so it's like, what are you going to do? And then, you know, he came in the game in Kentucky and was just firing missiles and was playing really well and played in a really good high school program. It's a great story because the kid didn't even start, you know, and he ends up at Florida. But the program he was in, I assure you, he played against some really good competition in Texas.
Next question is from Todd in Athens. Would you say this is the most explosive offense we've seen so far this season?
Yeah, by far. I mean, they're you know, statistically, you could probably argue, well, that I don't know where they rank. I don't go by that. I go by the kind of players they got. They got three runs of 75 yards or more. That's unheard of in one season. And then you throw on that on top of the fact they've got some wideouts that can make big plays and have made big plays, and they're very explosive.
I'm looking at the SEC stats here, and Georgia is ahead of Florida in scoring offense, in total offense. Pass offense is the only of those three categories, the one thing that Florida leads Georgia in. So Georgia's offensive numbers are, you know, equivalent or better than Florida right now.
Yeah, the only tough thing about that is they've played LSU and Auburn, you know, which are very
right
good, great teams. I mean, they're really good teams, and they both got good defensive units, and so they played some really good high quality competition when that boils down to it. But I mean, they are explosive. They've got players that can make plays all over the field, and I mean, I would venture to say there's five wideouts, and I'm counting Kyle Pitts in that group. So, you know, even though he's a tight end, that are going to be, you know, first or second round picks at their wideout. So whether it's this year, next year, or the next, they've got a stable of really good wideouts.
Tell me a little bit about Pitts, and is it difficult to cover him, or is he just so athletic he can get anything, or he can line up at wide receiver, or what? Tell us about Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts is 6'6", 240 pounds, if not more, and can fly. And he's got elite ball skills. So when you start talking about that, I mean, you're watching you know, Del Pitt at LSU, and he's catching balls on one of the best safeties in the country. Then they put a corner on him, he's catching balls on him, and he's a good football player. And they do a good job of finding matchups for him. And you look across the board, it's just a you can't just say, I'm going to cover this guy, and I'm just going to cover that guy. And you got to – you know, we always say you got to try to make people play left-handed. You got to take something away and make them play the way they don't want to. Well, that's hard to do on these guys. So you got to play well. And that's the bottom line. You got to play well, and you got to win some one-on-one matchups. You got to force some mistakes and turnovers. And you got to know they're going to make some plays, and you got to respond to that.
Pitts is the Gators' leading receiver with 35 catches so far this season and four touchdowns. So that could be a lot of fun to watch us against that guy.
Yeah.
Those are my words, not yours, right?
I mean, it's a great challenge. It's what you look for. And, you know, every week there's a different challenge, whether it's a guy that sat back there running around at quarterback that's completely different in Lynn Bowden to a guy that's got, you know, five wide receivers or four wide receivers and a tight end out there gunslinging it. It is a challenge, and they're good.
We are asking Coach Smart via the hashtag AskCoachSmart. It's brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Your questions for Coach Smart will continue right after we pause for these words on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
You're listening to Bulldogs Live. Once again, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
This is Bulldogs Live. Coach Kirby Smart here taking questions from you via social media. The hashtag is AskCoachSmart. You send them in, and we ask the coach. It's brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, proud partner of UGA Athletics. Right now, we're going to tell you about our Bulldogs Players of the Week. It's presented by Primerica, the only company positioned to make the maximum impact on Main Street families. And this week, we recognize senior defensive back J.R. Reed and junior running back DeAndre Swift. Both have been named semifinalists this week for prestigious college football awards. Reed from Frisco, Texas, is one of 20 semifinalists for the Bednarik Award for Outstanding Defensive Player of the Year. And Swift from Philadelphia is a semifinalist for the Maxwell Award for the Collegiate Player of the Year. Congratulations to these two Bulldogs for this recognition. They are our Players of the Week, and it's presented by Primerica. All right, back to more of your questions for Coach Smart as the Dogs get ready to take on the Florida Gators in Jacksonville Saturday afternoon. 3:39 is the official kick time in Jacksonville. Rick and Bogart, Coach, wants to know how the Dogs' havoc rate has been lately. I guess going back to that last game, perhaps.
Shoot, I can't remember. I don't know if we made our goal. I don't think we made our goal. I think we're close. I can't remember if we officially made it on Kentucky or not. I'll be honest, we always look at it the day after the game, and some of the games run together on me. But it was better earlier in the year than it has been later. We didn't make it. I know South Carolina. I think Kentucky, we were right around. I think we may have actually made it because we had a lot of what we call pass breakups towards the end of the game when they started trying to throw the ball in the rain. And, you know, we had some balls that we were able to get down, and that may have helped us make it. But we certainly didn't do enough to cause negative plays to those guys, and that's a big thing. It's one of the things we tried to emphasize in the off week to get back to trying to be a little higher in that rate.
Are there keys to reaching that havoc rate? Does it have to do with energy or the players or knowledge of what they're supposed to do or effort or all of that combined?
I mean, it's everything, but to be honest, havoc rate is a stat. So we talk about it a lot. We want to do it, but it can be misleading because, you know, you might give up a huge play, but if you bat down a ball three or four times, you make your havoc rate because okay. Those things help. Interceptions, turnovers, tackles for a loss, batted balls. It can be misleading. We just try to feature that because those are things that usually put them behind the sticks. They create third and longs. And the one thing statistically is the last two games we've been in more third and 3-6s than we were the first games. So it's the first thing that indicates, uh-oh, we're not putting them behind the sticks, and they're staying on schedule, and we got to do a better job of that.
You're always looking for disruptions on defense.
Yeah, we're looking to put them behind the sticks to make it harder to get a conversion.
Another defensive question. This is from Paul in Savannah. Are you pleased with the pressure our pass rush has created this year?
Well, I don't know how you define pleased. I'm pleased with the progress they've made, but I would be much more pleased if we were able to finish a couple more times and get a few more sacks. But we have hit the quarterback more than any year I've been here. And I know that for a fact. And we've gotten after him. We've attacked him. We've forced him into some, you know, some tough situations. And we've been more disruptive, which I think when you do that, you then create, okay, people are not going to play you the same way. You know, they're going to get rid of the ball quicker. They're going to screen you more. They're going to do other things, because when you see a quarterback getting hit a lot on tape, you're thinking of ways you can protect your own. And that's been good. I mean, that part of it has been creating a little advantage for us.
And speaking of sacks, looking at the SEC numbers, Florida leads the league in sacks with 29. And they've been without a couple of key pass rushers, at least for one game, and maybe more than that for one of the other guys. But what are the things that they do that allow them to get to the quarterback?
They get after it. I mean, they come after you, and they cut those guys loose. They have two really good corners, which affect that as well. When your corners are just draped all over wideouts, the quarterback tends to hold the ball, which creates more sacks. But they have two elite rushers, so I mean, I'm not taking anything away from them. But that we call it, sacks come from pressure and coverage working together. So they're working those two really well together by covering people and getting sacks. And, you know, they've had some crazy games where, like the Miami game, I mean, they got like a million sacks in that game. So it was a good start to the year, and they took advantage of some young tackles and really got after them.
How would you evaluate Georgia's offensive line in protecting our quarterback against good defensive lines that we've played this year?
Done a good job. This will be the ultimate test, because you're going against the best there probably is in our conference. I mean, outside of probably Auburn, but it's very unique how Florida goes about it, because they have speed, athletic rushers. They give you multiple looks. They come after you different ways, and they're relentless in the way they go about it. But our O-line has – pass protection has been a strength of our offensive line, and I think a lot of that is the threat of the run game. And when you have the threat of the run game, it slows down some rush.
Amanda in Griffin, Georgia, wants to know, in your opinion, is this one of the best rivalries in college football?
Absolutely. It's one of the best. I mean, it's one of the most traditional. It means the most in recruiting to a lot of people. It means the most in the SEC East to a lot of people. I mean, it's a big rivalry, and it's one of the best in college football.
Do you hear that from recruits? Talk about this game in your conversations with them, and does that come up a whole lot?
It does. I mean, they especially the kids, you know, from Florida that want to play against them, or the kids from our state. I think it matters to them. I think kids grow up watching that game. So no matter where you're from, what area we're recruiting you from, that's a game that they see on television all the time.
And we've got a couple of guys from Jacksonville, so I'm sure this is big for them. I mean, they'll have family members and at the Yin Yang probably at this game on Saturday.
Absolutely.
This is Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. We're asking the coach your questions. You send in via the hashtag AskCoachSmart, and we'll continue right after we hear from these words on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Bulldogs Live continues now with Coach Smart and your questions for the coach. And Dog fans, we want to remind you that basketball season is here, and you'll want to stay in tune with the Dogs this season. Georgia will play its season opener Tuesday night, November 5th at Stegman Coliseum in Athens. The Bulldogs unwrapped the year by hosting Western Carolina. This year's team of 5 returning players and 10 new faces include one of the top freshman recruiting classes in the entire nation. Game time for the Dogs on opening night, Tuesday, November 5th, is 7 o'clock. Our coverage of Bulldogs basketball begins at 6:35 p.m. on Tuesday night, right here on the Bulldogs Sports Network. We hope to see you in Athens for Georgia Bulldogs basketball this season. Let's get back to your questions for Coach Kirby Smart. Ask the Coach, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, proud partner of UGA Athletics. Emily in Richmond Hill, Georgia. Do the players and staff feel more rested coming off the bye week? Florida had one too, by the way.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because psychologically you always worry about that. I mean, okay, so you take the bye week, and everybody out there in the public thinks, oh, well, you guys don't practice, you guys chill.
That's
and
right.
And you actually work really hard and get after it. And you're trying to tell yourself, man, I want to get better, but I want to get healed up, and I want to get guys well. And where do you draw the line between better and working and healed. And you take a guy, you know, you could take Andrew Thomas, for example. I mean, he's probably played the most snaps of anybody on our team. Maybe, I don't know, Tyler Clark's been here a lot, but he subs in and out. But Andrew's played a lot of snaps, and you're saying, okay, I want this guy to be well and heal, but I want him to continue to develop and get better. So you throw so many more reps into your two or your three or whoever else, and you're trying to get healthy. So then they take 3 days off, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come back Monday. Well, by the time you're into the week, you're like, man, we've grinded, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You can't just go out there and not practice. And then you're thinking, well, this don't even feel like a bye week because we just practice pretty hard Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So, and then you know, you get ready to go play Friday, Saturday. And I've been very fortunate to have a lot of success doing it that way. And so you believe in that way, but you always question, say, well, what if I gave them, you know, we had a walkthrough instead of a real practice? I just think the speed of the game is so critical to playing in these kind of games because you get out there and it's going fast.
Has it been trial and error developing that method in your coaching career?
No, I wouldn't say trial and error. It would be more following the success of the programs I've been around and believing in that. And also having an eye to see, you know, when you feel like somebody's wearing down and you're checking that scientifically to see their numbers and where they are speed-wise.
Let's see our next question. Michael in Sandy Springs, Georgia. What does Lawrence Cager bring to the wide receiver room? Both as a player and as a guy who's played a lot of football?
Well, he brings confidence. He brings energy. He brings experience, competitive toughness. He's a tough, competitive kid that loves football. He loves being around ball. And we don't have a lot of experience in that room. And I know people, you know, try to point things out. But when you look at the number of catches and touches returning in that room, it's just it was just depleted from some of the people that left. And so having him in there, it's like a blessing. It's like a replacing Riley, Mecole, or J.J. all in one guy. And that's that leadership is important in that room.
And he's back practicing this week?
Yeah, he's been out there working with us, getting some reps, and that's important for him, and we're hopeful that he's able to go.
What are the biggest challenges of those grad transfers that come into a new program and they have to not only establish themselves but try to catch on to how things are done at the new place, and they don't have a lot of time to figure that out?
No, they don't, but I think most of those kids are so mature, and they've been through sometimes – multiple coaches at other places, and socially is probably the hardest thing, just finding your niche, you know, and
yeah.
You're not feeling like you're a free agent and getting embraced by the team. And we've had some really good success stories with that, and we try to acclimate them and make sure they're comfortable and explain to the players, look, they're here to make us all better, to help our team win. And think of yourself. If you were in this situation, how would you feel, you know, coming in as a senior, not knowing anybody? And our guys have always embraced those guys.
But just three off the top of my head that I can think of, including Lawrence, is Mo Smith and Nizelec, the punter from Columbia. All three of those guys. And I guess the jury may still be out on Lawrence because we're only halfway through the season, but a lot of success at Georgia after transferring here.
Yeah, he's been a big help.
JT in Monroe, Georgia. What's the dynamic like playing, coaching against Dan Mullen, since he's a coach that's familiar from your SEC West days?
It's not a big dynamic. I mean, I would say that we both know each other's tendencies. I mean, maybe not as a head coach tendency, but as defense and offense. And he does a really good job. I mean, I remember the years at Alabama. It used to be so frustrating because there were so many things that you had to prepare for when you went against his team. He has a lot of offensive toys and gadgets and things to prepare for. And I used to always say, I'd pull out the book from the year before and say, okay, did we check this box, check this box, check this box? Because you never knew which, you know, set of plays or motions or things you were going to get, and you had to prepare for them all.
Do you find that he's doing largely the same kind of things at Florida that he was doing at Mississippi State?
He pulls from the library, and he says, okay, well, we had this player at Mississippi State. Okay, I want to use these set of plays to highlight this player, and using, you know, different things and things that he thinks, I guess, you know, complement or kind of conflict with what we do. And it's always a challenge, I can promise you that.
JT, thanks for your question. We've got more for Coach Smart in just a moment, and we'll take a timeout and come back for more of Bulldogs Live right after this on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Back with Coach Kirby Smart here on Bulldogs Live as we wrap up with the coach here in this hour. Coming up in the second hour of our show tonight, it's the Bulldogs All-Stars. Your chance to talk to former Georgia players. Your phone calls are welcome, and they'll do that until 9 o'clock. That's coming up in just a few moments. If you missed any of Coach Smart's comments on tonight's show, not to worry. You can hear them on the brand-new Georgia Bulldogs podcast. That's podcast, PAWDCAST. Be sure to subscribe now. You'll get all exclusive on-demand audio content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, including Coach Smart's weekly press conference, Sunday morning's Bulldog Brunch, throwback game broadcast, and the show you're listening to right now, Bulldogs Live. Subscribe and download the Georgia Bulldogs podcast today. All right, more questions from you for Coach Smart. Barrett in Jacksonville, Florida, wants you to comment on Chris Conley tearing it up for the Jaguars. Have you been following Chris?
Man, I did not even know that. I love Chris. He's one of my favorite dogs, and he's such a talented person on and off the field. But I have not seen – I hadn't seen one play. At least I haven't seen one play of Chris. I saw a couple Sony and Nick clips, but I didn't know Chris was tearing it up, so that's awesome.
Not a lot of time for NFL in your world right now, is there?
Not much. I mean, the time I did get off, it was Saturday, you know, so we saw all the college games, and then we were back grinding Sunday, so I never catch anything. My son watches it all. He usually fills me in.
Well, speaking of catching, Quentin in Athens has this question. Which of our backs is the most pure receiver out of the backfield?
Man, that would be a tough competition. Those backs can catch the ball. I mean, I don't think we have any that can't catch it or aren't talented out of the backfield. And that includes all of them. Zamir is really talented as well catching it. But they all share in that. James, DeAndre Bryan's got great hands. And even Kenny does a great job.
Do you look for that when you recruit
Absolutely.
Running backs?
Yes.
I mean, is that an element of
you have to have
getting
it.
A guy here?
I mean, not many good athletes that have good vision don't have good hand-eye. You know, you just don't see that. It's very rare to see a back that can't catch the ball. It just means they probably didn't. They played running back their whole life, and they never played the other positions.
Tom in Dothan, Alabama, sent this one in. Is Andrew Thomas a leader, even though I hear he's not very vocal?
Yeah, I mean, you're a leader when the rest of the team in the locker room values your opinion. They respect you as a player, and you have competitive toughness. They see the way he works and what he does. He's not very vocal, but he doesn't have to be. He speaks with actions. And a lot of times the actions you take speak a lot louder than the words you say. And those are my favorite leaders that put it out there on the field every day, day in and day out, and they work really hard. He does a great job of that.
And something else that you pointed out earlier in the show, he's probably taken more snaps than anybody on the team. That would tell you something right there, that how important he is to this group.
Yeah, he's valuable. I mean, the anchor, you would say, because he's played well and he plays really physical.
Mike in Charlotte, North Carolina, wants to know how big this game is for our Florida boys on our roster.
Well, I know it matters to them a lot. We've got quite a few, and a lot of those guys were in it to the wire with Florida as well, but they chose to come here, and they're playing against some guys they competed against in high school, and I know they're excited to get to go play in their home state.
Is it different recruiting those guys in Florida than it is in other states, or, is there anything to that?
Not really. I mean, I don't think so. I think every area of the country is a little different, and Florida's different than Georgia, especially South Florida. But I don't look at some of the areas in Florida as not really that different than Georgia, especially when you get up around Jacksonville and Tallahassee. It's very similar to Georgia. But South Florida might be a little different. Those kids are really competitive, and they grow up not afraid of competing against anybody.
About 20 seconds, Coach. Just some final thoughts on this matchup on Saturday afternoon.
Well, it's what college football is all about. Our kids are excited. It's been a lot of build-up for it, and I know there's a lot riding on this game, but our kids are prepared. We're going to be excited to let them go out there, cut loose, and play. And I don't think you try to overdo things in this one. You let them go play, and play with discipline, composure, and physicality. Those are the things we're looking for.
Kirby, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. That's Kirby Smart. Stay tuned. We got more Bulldogs Live after this on the Bulldogs Sports Network.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Historic game rewinds and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dogs!